Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The third of the Ten Commandments is as follows, Exodus 20 and verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. How marvelous is the name of the Lord God! The name of God would include all the various titles that define and describe his nature and his truth, his attributes, his character, and his authority. It would embrace identifications of his purpose and his providence. The name of God signifies all that God is, all that he does, and all that he commands. His name is holy. Psalm 111 verse 9, holy and reverend is his name. His name is to be reverenced as that which is sacred. Isaiah 57:15 also defines the name of God as holy and worthy of reverence. Nehemiah 9 and verse 5, blessed be thy glorious name which is exalted in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. God's name and that of his Son, who is a person of deity, a member of the Godhead, is often mentioned in a way and manner requiring the highest adoration and affection. And not only is this true in this third commandment, but also in such passages as Matthew 6 and verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Philippians 2 and verse 9, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. His name signifies his authority. It is the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved, Acts 4 and verse 12. And what we do in word or deed is to be done in his name, which means by his authority, the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 3 and verse 17. Now there are those who say there's nothing in a name, and they have a reason for saying that. They try to defend the utterly anti-Christian system of denominationalism and suggest that the various names being used by various religions are merely tags and labels without significance. Now, if they really believe that, why are they not willing to sacrifice names that they have chosen to wear which are not biblical and accept that which is authorized without addition or subtraction? But it is obvious that those who would contend thusly in religion do not accept the unimportance of names in any other realm of human venture. It is not true regarding the products we buy, or what appears on our paychecks, or the places we go, the people we meet, or how we name our children. Everyone is mindful not only of his own name, but the names of others. It matters. It matters to God as well about names, and we would be well to admit that. God gave many names and even changed many names. He called Adam, Jesus and John by the names that he assigned. He identified those names. He changed the name of Abram to Abraham and from Sarai to Sarah and Jacob to Israel. He has given the disciples of Christ the name Christian. How dare any man contend that there is nothing in a name when the Lord God of heaven has indicated otherwise? The name of Jesus was given by God through the archangel Gabriel. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Did it matter what they named the child? Therefore, let us not trifle with the name of God, use it vainly or irreverently, flippantly, or even connected with profanity. Christ expanded on the third commandment when he taught his disciples to pray. The third commandment says not to take God's name in vain, which is a prohibition and a negative approach toward honoring the name of God. Jesus presented a similar truth by the positive approach and taught the name of God was to be hallowed, meaning a reverenced, adored, praised, and honored name. It is not enough under Christ to simply refrain from misusing God's name, but it is incumbent upon those who will be saved to present his name properly. Now, there are a number of ways the third commandment can be violated. It is transgressed with profanity and cursing and swearing, which are base and low vices. Such only reveals uncouth minds and the admitted inability to express oneself without stooping as low as a man can stoop in speech. George Washington issued an order on July the 4th, 1775. He said, "The general most earnestly requires and expects a due observance of those articles of war established for the government of the army, which forbid profane cursing, swearing, and drunkenness." And earlier he had written, "Witness how much I have both by threats and persuasive means endeavored to discountenance gaming, drinking, swearing, or irregularities of any kind." Well, one could devoutly wish that all men of public life would follow the direction and example of our first president in this matter. He recognized that the name of God is holy and reverend. How terribly guilty is that soul that trifles with the holy name of God? Is not God's name heard often in the marketplace, being used in a shameless profanity and vulgarity by both young and old and male and female? The name of God is man's last and only hope. When death strikes, when in pain, agony, or grief, when the heart is broken and dreams have been smashed because of want and despair, when we are overcome by destitution, when strength has been drained into weakness and youth has gone into old age, when joys have faded and glories grow dim, the only one to whom we can turn with confidence and call upon for that for which we need is the glorious name of God. Will a person profane that very name? Why will he? Surely he is prompted by a certain form of near insanity. Profanity relieves no pain, gratifies no appetite. It is not considered honorable by good or by the evil. It is a manifestation of the tongue gone berserk and the mind running wild without control. Some have tried to diminish the enormity of guilt of profanity by contending that the person misusing the name of God does not really mean what he says. Well, this may be true, that he does not fully grasp his enormous sin. But that only compounds his guilt. Calling on God without sincerity is utmost folly. Calling on God to do things in a whimsical fashion suggests the height of disrespect. Profanity even suggests that God just might do what he has said he will not do, thereby a gross misrepresentation of God. It is to slander deity. It is a serious thing to call upon God to damn someone or anything. If a man be damned, it will be because of his own faults. Man's wickedness destroys him, for he casts himself against God's righteousness, and God will be his judge. But we err to profanely cry for God to damn someone as an outburst of our anger and of our hatred. And another violation of the third commandment is in the frivolous, light, flippant use of sacred tongues. Some do this to adorn the amusing and entertaining stories. Isaiah said, "Some make mention of God, but not in truth, nor in righteousness." Oddly, this violation is committed often by professed believers who doubtless would rather honor God. They know not what they do. And those who pray, "Hallowed be thy name," should hallow it by mentioning his name only with reverence and respect for him. The early scribes did not even write the name of Jehovah when copying the ancient manuscripts, except they went through rituals designed to hallow the name of God. Some would write his name, but never with a pen that had ever written anything else previously, and never use that pen again for anything thereafter. And while these forms of respect are not required, it is a manifestation of the respect that many have had toward the name of God in days past. And a dose of this attitude would be a great breath of fresh air in our world today. Although not often considered, but certainly true, hypocrisy violated the third commandment. Is it not reprehensible for a man to say, "Lord, Lord," but rebel against the word of God, refusing to obey his commandments? When prayers are uttered to God, but worded to please men rather than God, when people give alms to be seen of men, when they outwardly go through rituals in life dismissing the law of God, is it not mockery of his name? indeed blasphemous? We also understand that the presumptuous use of God's name is to profane it and violate this third commandment. Pretending to do something in his name, pretending to do something by his authority, when he has not so authorized that thing, is to misuse his name. To simply say we do something in the name of the Lord does not make it so. We must do what we do in his name, by his authority, or we have no right to use his name in connection with it. And not every high-sounding operation flourishing under the alleged banner of Christ is actually of the Master. How many times do religious people operate under his name, but they have not received direction or permission from the Lord to assume they have that authority? In Acts 19 and verse 7, some were shouting the name of Jesus and calling upon him to do certain things they desired, but they were not of God, and they were not thereby abusing the holy name of deity. Just as the Decalogue thunders against those who would profane God's name, we would remind ourselves that this also would include the name of Christ. How often we are subjected to the vile tongue of many around us by hearing the name of our blessed Savior used and abused in the slanderous and wicked speech that characterizes so many. Loose jest, idle words, insincere oaths, vulgar stories that are connected with the name of Jesus is no less a sin than a similar action connected with the name of the Father or the Holy Spirit. 10 times Jesus is called God. And even though he became man, as we are men here upon this earth, we recognize the twofold nature of him while he was here on earth as humanity and deity. The name of Jesus Christ is not to be misused. It seems this is the norm, however, for so many. The opposite of profaning the name of God and taking it in vain is to hallow his name. Let us therefore hallow his name in worship, by serving him daily in meekness and fear and respect, trusting him and obeying his commandments. Those who genuinely reverence the name of the Lord will not wish ever to use it in vain, but rather will be outraged and deeply offended while others around them do so. Let us not let the violators of divine teaching cause us to lose our sensitivity when the name of deity is violated. Psalm 69 and verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 96:2, I sing unto the Lord a new song, bless his name. Psalm 148, verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Psalm 145, verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and forever. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.